This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Photographer Nadia Sablin grew up in St. Petersburg, Russia, and each summer her family escaped the hustle bustle of the city to spend some time in a small rural village with their extended family. They left Russia in 1992, and Nadia didn't know whether she'd ever get a chance to return. But more than 15 years later, she did go back for the first time and felt like everything in the country had changed, from the people to the landscape. But one little piece of the world remained exactly the same, that small family home in that rural village. Nadia was fascinated by how this place seemed suspended in time and how her two aunts who lived there seemed both old and young at the same time. She started snapping photographs and has now compiled them in a book, Aunties, The Seven Summers of Avlatina and Ludmila. And the photographs are on display at Duke University's Rubenstein Photography Gallery through February. Nadia is going to be there tomorrow night to give a talk, but first joins me in the studio. Nadia Sablin, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
Tell us more about this project. How did it get started?
I came to visit in 2008. That was the first year when I realized I could go back. And I thought I'd stay, maybe take a couple of photographs, get to know my aunts a little better, and move on. But when I started taking the pictures, I realized that I wanted to take more and more. And by the time I had to leave, I knew that I had to come back.
How much time, how well did you know them? How old were you when you were visiting their place?
When I was a child, I would spend at least a month every summer with one of the aunts or both of them. My grandfather lived in this house, and one of his children would always be around to take care of him. And me and my cousins would also come in and stay. So I knew them pretty well. They weren't close family members, but they were a constant presence in my life. But I probably didn't get to know them at all until I came back as an adult.
Well, this house itself has a fascinating history. Tell us about that.
The house was in a different place originally where my aunts were born. And when my grandfather was wounded in World War II, he started to lose his vision. It was more difficult for him to perform tasks or to provide for his family. So he decided to move closer to his homeland, maybe where his cousins would be available, his sisters and brothers. So the house was taken apart log by log. There's a Roman numeral carved into each log to know where to put it. They floated the whole house down a river as a raft and reconstructed it in the old place.
Wow. And this old place is quite rural, as we can see in your photographs. You have a loving eye and respect for the place now. I'm wondering, as a young girl, having to leave St. Petersburg for a month to go there, how you felt about it then?
I felt like I was being sent into exile. I was suddenly removed from everything I knew, from the palaces and the beautiful buildings, and I was in the middle of a forest. I probably could have appreciated it a little bit more at the time. But I think I was really, really bored.
Yeah.
A lot of the time I was really bored. So I started pestering my aunts, pestering my grandfather for stories. And finally, they figured out that if they sent me to the library, I would leave them alone. So I started reading books.
You went back. Talk about the, again, sort of you go back and you look at this place now with fresh eyes. Talk about that experience. I mean, what you expected, and was there sort of a jarring moment for you when you realized maybe perhaps all you had missed in those earlier years?
Well, I realized how beautiful my aunts were, first of all. When I was a kid, they seemed so foreign to me. They seemed alien, almost. They didn't understand me. I didn't understand them. And as a kid, I wasn't willing to put in the time. Plus, they're not very verbal about how they express themselves. It's through photography, through watching them, that I think I started to understand them and to love them.
Your photography is a kind of, I think, the intersection of fine art and documentary, if there can be that distinction. Tell us about your style in general and kind of what inspires you to take this approach.
I'm more interested in expressing what it feels like to be there than maybe the reality of being there is. I think that I'm looking at this world through a filter of long-lost memories, of invented memories, of all the books that I read and things that I imagined. And it's definitely not your objective documentary. I don't think I could, even if I wanted to, work in that way.
So how did you do it? Talk about the process. So you went back over several years to take these photographs, right?
My first instinct was to set up images, maybe reconstruct memories that I had, or things that I wanted to see. And I had limited success with that. My aunts, instead of being people, became symbols. And that was definitely a wrong way to take the pictures, to relate to them. And I just started following them around and looking at what they do. They do so many fascinating things, things I may or may not understand. And for a long time, I just tried to record what they were doing. I would come at different times of day, whether it was time to gather berries or time to chop wood or maybe build some structures in the yard. And sometimes we still set something up.
I'm going to show you this photograph here where they appear to be carrying lumber across a meadow. What are they doing here?
There is a lumber mill not far from the house that has a pile of discarded planks. And my aunts got permission to go and pick out the good planks, which they then saw into firewood, make fences out of, build furniture, and use for all kinds of things. And it takes them a pretty, it's a difficult process to go and climb into the pile, pull out the planks that would work best, and then saw them into pieces.
You have a loose series here of them on that pile of planks, sorting the lumber, and then actually working together with a two-person saw to saw the wood. And it's more work than I can do. I'll tell you that. What did they make of you being there? Because, again, this you came back for over a couple of years to do this, right? Was it 7 years?
Yeah, I came for 7 years in a row.
And how long did you spend each time?
Probably a couple of weeks each time, more or less.
How did they feel about all that?
I never really asked them if it was okay to photograph. I came off the bus with a camera in my hands taking pictures. And I think they accepted me in this new way. I had a camera attached to my face. Maybe it was a deficiency, but they were going to love me anyway.
Okay. But I will tell you this, and this is my subjective interpretation of these photos or what I feel when I look at them. Number one, I see your deep admiration for these women in particular and a little bit about the way they live their lives and have molded themselves to a life. I see that admiration. And I also see their ambivalence to your project. They seem not to care at all about what it is you're up to, and that, which is not to say they don't care about you, I should say.
There is a difference, definitely. For me, the project is so much about them. When people ask me about the project, I immediately start talking about my aunts. But for them, it's the opposite, and they see it as something that I'm making. And when I ask them, well, what do you think? They say, well, we're very proud of you. We're very proud that you are so dedicated to your work. they don't quite see it, I think, right, as a reflection of them.
Well, when you look at all the hard work they're doing just to keep food on the table and a roof over their head, they must wonder about your job, which is to take pictures for other people to look at in their spare time.
We don't talk much about things. I think we just we spend quiet time together. We look at each other. We repeat family stories, but there's not that much verbal communication going on when I go.
Which is surprising to think about because you are there, as you said, for a couple of weeks over a 7 year period. It's a small place. How did you even navigate? I mean, you've got photographic equipment, there's you. Where did you live and how did you do it?
There's a small room in the attic that my father built, and I store all my stuff there and I sleep there. It keeps me a little bit separate from the aunts, and it gives me a chance to hide all the technology so it doesn't overwhelm their little world.
Do they ever give you the sense that we love you, dear, but you're a bit in the way?
Sometimes. Sometimes they say, that's enough. You already got it, and I have to stop.
Tell us about this one. This is mostly I'm looking at your one of your aunts' abdomen, an ironing board, and an iron.
My aunts keep a lot of things from the past. The saw that we looked at earlier has been in the family since the 50s. This iron is from the 70s. It's a Soviet iron. There is a myth, I don't know how true it is, that Soviet technology never breaks down, and my aunts are putting that to the test. Each of them has specific duties around the house. One cooks, one cleans, and Ludmila is the one who makes most of the clothes. So she's ironing a dress that she made herself here in the photo.
What was your sense of their relationship? They obviously have to collaborate very closely in sort of keeping this project going. It's so much work. How did your understanding of who they were as individuals and how they relate to each other change through this project from when you were a little girl?
I probably saw them as a lot more alike than they actually are. They were kind of these big adult figures that told me what to do. Now I see how unique each of them is and how their relationship has changed and developed over the time that they spend together for half the year.
Tell me about this photograph. They are holding a bucket of blueberries, I believe.
When I go visit them, I'm usually pretty jet-lagged and sleeping at odd hours. And my aunts would delight in showing me things that they had done when I would finally wake up around noon or one. And at this point, they brought buckets and buckets of blueberries, and they brought a little plant to show me how blueberries grow in the forest. And I always wanted to go with them, but somehow either I would come in during a heat wave or at the wrong time for blueberries. Until finally, I made it on time, and I woke up on time, and early in the morning, we went off to the woods to gather blueberries together, and I finally got the shot that I've been hoping for.
Did you have to retake some of these shots and, again, sort of beg their forgiveness and indulgence while you took it a fourth and fifth time?
Sometimes I like the idea of a photograph better than I like its execution, so I try to remake it in a better way. The sawing photograph, for instance, I have an earlier version that I don't like as much. I wanted to show the muscle. I wanted to show the amount of hard work it takes to do the sawing. So
you didn't like what you saw.
I didn't.
I'm on a
like
roll today.
You
just I'm begging for this every 8 minutes on the show. You know, it's interesting because your style evokes some images of American farm families, and yet in other ways it's very different. Do you see parallels and contrasts?
Well, I studied photography in the States, so I definitely developed my sensibility while looking at Dorothea Lange and Walker Evans photographs. So I'm sure that influence is there, whether or not I consciously try to emulate them.
Interesting, too. I'd love to hear kind of some of the responses to these photographs. I found myself envying the folks in this picture and then chiding myself for this kind of romantic escape that I was allowing. Clearly, I can't do this. So that part I knew. But wondering what it would have been like, what it would be like to have grown up that way and become the people they became. What kind of responses do you get to these photographs?
I get emails from people all over the world that are reminded of their own family members. I had an email from New Zealand. I had an email from the Dominican Republic, and people saying, this is just like my village. This is just like my elderly neighbor that raised me. This is like my past. And I think that has a lot to do with that filter of memories and fairy tales that I think all of us develop on the road to adulthood. And maybe we imagine our childhood in this way.
I wonder if you've gotten those responses, if you know, if some of the people who've responded that way, it reminds me of a loved one who might have been in a very different setting, but something about these photos evokes something different than even the setting.
Yeah, I think it's more of a feeling of loving somebody and a place.
So there is a funny story behind what happened to you when you shared an earlier version of this book. As I say, there seems to be a kind of ambivalence to your project by your aunts, but you did share an earlier version of the book with them.
I made a book with blurb for a show, and I thought I should make a copy for my aunts. So I ordered two extras. I brought them to the village, and I gave them as gifts to my aunts. They politely thanked me, put the books away, covered them up with crossword puzzles and doilies and whatever else they were doing at the time. And I was a little disappointed. I wanted them to at least look. But I thought I'd do an experiment. I slipped a little bit of money into each book, probably to thank them for taking care of me while I visit, and nothing. And it wasn't until I was on the bus leaving the village that my cell phone rang, and my aunts were very, very angry with me. So I knew that as soon as I was out the door, they ran for the books and started looking through them.
Found the dough and chided you for daring to pay them.
They're
for their
the adults. I was supposed to be the one they're helping.
And you talked about the doilies and other artifacts piled on top of new items in the house. I guess your father, their brother, has also tried to sort of offer them other kinds of technology with little
success.
He
wants to Skype with them. He wants them to read the books that he enjoys on his Kindle, so he brings them gifts. And they try, but eventually they end up in a little pile covered up with doilies and things.
Lots of doilies in that house. What's your next project? What are you working on next?
I'm working on several projects as usual. I've been working in this village where my aunts live, and I have several families that I've been photographing over the years. I'm hoping that I can keep doing so while the children that I started photographing when they were 6 or 7 grow into adulthood. They're teens now, and some of them are dropping out, but most are still going strong. I'm hoping to show that body of work soon.
Those teens, at least, might be mugging for the cameras in the way your aunts didn't.
Oh, some of them, yeah.
Nadia, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Nadia Sablin is a photographer who recently completed the new book, Aunties, The 7 Summers of Avaltina and Ludmila. Nadia and her photographs are on display at Duke University's Rubinstein Library through February. Nadia's going to actually be there tomorrow night, and she's going to give an artist talk with a reception. That starts at 5:30, and you can find out the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, and Andrew Tai. Robin Copley is our technical director. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.